Hi there, this is James Swanick, and you're listening to the Swanick Podcast.
Oh yeah, I've already practiced great breathing here. I am James Swanick, co-founder of Swanick, and today we're going to be learning how to breathe effectively, but not just effectively, breathe for performance, breathe for life, breathe for stress relief. If you're watching, you're probably overwhelmed, anxious at times. Breathing can change that. And I've just been informed reliably that I need a headset. So because I'm so organized, I'm sure I'll be able to just pluck one from my drawer. Can I? No? I can't. So I'm going to go and get one. Shane, introduce yourself. Shane here, master breather, who has worked with the special forces before and helped them for peak performance. Shane, while you introduce yourself, this is off the cuff here, this is live TV, I'm going to go and grab myself a headset.
Got it. Thank you. Thanks, James. As James said, my name's Shane, and I'm here to talk about breathing. Now, breathing is one of those things that often people just think, well, I just do breathing for survival. And I think that that's one of the things that kind of trips people up a little bit about breathing is that, you know, it often people just think about it, they leave it. But, you know, today people are starting to really come to the realization that, you know, there's more natural things out there for performance. You know, like breathing and even looking around how you treat your body with sleep and all these sorts of things. So I think that there's an awareness happening and breathing is certainly one of those natural things that, as James pointed out, not only for making you feel better, but also for performing better as well.
Oh, Shane, what a great introduction. You should have been a sports director on ESPN like me. And took over there. If you're just joining us for the first time, go ahead and just type in the comments which city and which country you are joining us from. I see Mel says, hello, Shane. Bonnie says, awesome. Bonnie's asking if this will be recorded. Not sure. We reward those who are live, obviously, but maybe we do a recording. I'm not sure yet. But just if you're watching, just go ahead and type in the chat right now. Let us know where you are joining us from, because what we're going to be doing is a little breathing exercise here. Shane is going to be I'm going to ask Shane to walk me through a little breathing exercise, and I'm going to invite you, if you're watching live or on the replay, to participate. Hmm. It doesn't really matter what you know. It only matters what you do. And so Shane can share with you how to breathe, and you go, oh, that's great, I feel awesome. You get the dopamine release and you're like, oh, I'm so knowledgeable. But then you actually don't go and do it. What's the point? It's kind of like if a tree falls in the woods and nobody sees it, did it actually fall? You like that, Shane?
Yes, I do.
Hello, Danny from the Gold Coast. And Danny says it's recorded replay on Facebook and YouTube.
Oh, there you go.
So let's keep the ball rolling. And first of all, Shane, just big shout out to you because you're wearing a pair of Swanee's blue light blocking glasses.
Uh-huh.
You've been wearing those a while, right? It's not like we just handed them out to you and said, wear these for the live call for promotional purposes.
Not at all, James. You know, we've been a big fan of, you know, protecting our melatonin production and also, you know, being in line with the circadian rhythm. And of course, now that most people are using Zoom or using screens as such, we just have, Angie and I have this, you know, it's just a rule where when we're on the computer, we have our glasses on for, it's like welding, right? Like you protect your eyes. So that's what we do. We make sure that we're protected, and you guys are providing the best blue light blocking protection that we've found so far. So that's why we're wearing them.
Thank you, Shane. Appreciate that. And Shane was wearing them well before we actually even got connected. So just wanted to give a disclaimer there. It's not like we sent him out a pair and say, wear these. He was wearing them well before we were ever connected. So happy Mother's Day as well. If you're in the US, Mother's Day. And if you're in Australia, happy Mother's Day for yesterday. I had a lovely Mother's Day morning with my mother, Jill Swanick, out in the Brisbane suburb of Ascot. I took her some nice raw sweets, raw cakes, which was really nice and lovely. Shalina says, hello, love this. Hi, Shalina, nice to see you. We've got someone from Melbourne, Australia who's joining us. Hello from Melbourne, Australia. Okay, Shane, let's walk me through a breathing exercise. Yep. Why are we doing this? What are we going to do and what benefit are we going to get out of this?
Great, great questions, James. It's a simple question and it has a lot of depth to it. You know, breathing is, if you look at it mechanically, in, out, and pause. There's those three things, right? And you'll hear a lot about, you know, there's, you know, you've got the yogis have pranayama, you have the Tibetan and a lot of the other Asian cultures all have a style of breathing. There's Tummo and there's, you know, you name it around the world, there is a breathing protocol or process that's attached to pretty much every religious or every spiritual or even in performance, say like martial arts and things like that. There's this reference to breathing in all of those. And what we've come to know and what we've studied and broken all these things down is it's really simply in, out, pause, right? Like, and any combination of those things are going to give you different things are going to happen in your body. So if you imagine it, that breathing is really the keys to your nervous system. It's how you drive your nervous system. When you breathe in, your body automatically upregulates energy. And when you breathe out, your body automatically downregulates energy. So you've got this pendulum that swings between your breath, and that runs in line with your nervous system. So breathing is the only that we know for now is the only system in your body that is not only automatic, but it's also manual. So meaning you can just not think about your breathing and your body through respiration, like through the gas exchange in your lungs, will just have you breathe in and out. That's what happens when you sleep, right? Like you're not sitting there thinking about your breathing, it's just happening. Or you can take conscious control of your breathing and then you can do all these different things. You can put yourself into really heightened alert states, or you can put yourself into super relaxed meditative states, or you can even put yourself in these paradoxical ones where you feel energized and relaxed at the same time. And it's an amazing combination that you can do with all these things, and it's affecting not only your physical body, as in it's affecting, you know, your posture, and it's affecting the way that you move. It's also affecting your chemistry, and it's the quickest way to do that. So you have this fine balance between the mechanics of your breathing and then the chemistry that goes on inside the body with your breathing. You know, it regulates blood pH. You know, a lot of people are concerned about pH in their body. You know, they drink pH water, or they drink green drinks, or they drink all these sorts of things to try and balance their pH. Breathing is the fastest way to rebalance the pH in your body. So it has, like, it's simple, but it has this depth to it that's really intricate and just so many different uses. So that's why, you know, breathing in the thinking of it as just survival, that's fine. But it is a whole lot more than that as well.
Mm. Let's jump right in and do a breathing exercise. And then when we come out of it, I'm going to ask some questions and we'll take some questions from people who are watching as well. So rather than us talk about it for 30 minutes and then do a breathing exercise, let's just do the breathing exercise and then we'll talk about it. And by the way, if you're just watching or just joining us, or even if you're watching in the replay, go ahead and type in a question for Shane right now. Or a question for me. Shane is the expert on breathing. I'm not as much of an expert. But if you have a question for me, like how did I get so devilishly handsome, I'd be happy to answer that question for you. If you've got a question as to how you can get a beard like me and Shane and, you know, how you'd like to rock it, ask that question as well. Shane, very, very informed on rocking cool beards. If you'd like to ask a question about how I get this flowing thick head of hair, please do ask me. I'd be happy to pass on everything that I know. Go ahead and post a question down below and we would love to answer your questions for you. All right, Shane, so coach me. Let's do some breathing. Let's do a breathing exercise now. I invite you watching live or on the replay to participate and then ask questions. Let's do this.
All right, James. So first off, what I'll get you to do is when you're sitting in your chair, notice that you can get some space between your ribs and your hips. So this is going to help you be able to breathe into your belly. So the way that you can do that is you can just roll your hips forward and kind of sit up. And once that you feel that your posture is strong in your spine, then just relax the rest of your body. So relax your shoulders. Because what we want to do is we want to keep the breathing low. So we're going to think about keeping it low. Now, with the breathing, we're going to use three basic shapes in the breath. This is going to help you just map out the breathing. The first one is a triangle. So if you just close your eyes, and everyone can do this if you're sitting somewhere, obviously not driving or operating machinery, but if you can sit somewhere and close your eyes, and we're going to breathe in through the nose and out through the mouth. So as you draw the breath in, imagine a triangle. You're going to breathe in. You're going to let it go. And then pause. And hold the pause and then breathe in again. And out. And pause it at the bottom. Now do that one more time, just in your own count, just to yourself. Just draw it in, let it go, and pause. Now what you may immediately notice about that, James, is your energy already settles down. Right, you already feel yourself settling down. You can sit in the pause for a long time if you like. It feels very comfortable to do that. Okay, so take a big sigh. Good. So a sigh always signals to your body that you're relaxing or that we're changing pace or doing something. So I'll ask you to sigh often if we're going to break out of something and into something else. So let's go into the next shape. The next shape is a square. So with the square, what we do is we breathe in, and I'm going to count for you. So ready? So you're going to inhale, one, two, three, pause, one, two, three, exhale, one, two, three, and pause, one, two, three. Do that again. Inhale, one, two, three, pause. Relax the body while you're pausing it, two, three, exhale, two, three, and pause, two, three. Take a big sigh. So what you may notice about the square is the square helps you contain all your energy because you're controlling every aspect. So if you've got to go on and you're feeling nervous, if you've got to go on for a call or you've got a difficult phone call with someone, use the box breathing or square breathing like we just did. Will help you really control yourself. It's called in the military anti-arousal breathing because you're controlling every aspect of the breath. Now, the last shape that we're going to use is a circular shape. Now, the circular shape will often be the one that may cause people to experience different things in the body. You might get a little bit of sensations in the fingers or in the face because the breathing in a circle will show up if you have already pre-existing breathing dysfunction. So just notice that if you do start to feel a little bit lightheaded or you do feel a little tingling in the fingers from this, it just means that you already have a dysfunction, which most of us do anyway. We've all got breathing dysfunctions. It's not anything that's uncommon or thing like that, but it'll help you to discover it. So how we do the circles is we do it like sighing but connecting the sighs together. So just draw it in through the nose. And you just connect it one after the other. As soon as you finish one, you start the next one. That's it. That's it. Now what's important about this is that you do it within your normal breathing range. So it doesn't have to be deep. It doesn't have to be fast. Good. Take a big sigh. Good. How do you feel so far, James?
I feel more relaxed. I feel a little bit lightheaded when I'm good. Doing particularly the big ones.
Okay, that's it. All right. So what we're going to do now, we're going to throw it all together. All right. And so what's important, and if you guys out there that are listening, what's important about this is that any kind of lightheadedness, any kind of feeling that you get that you're unsure in your body, meet it with equal relaxation, as in just relax the body even more. You'll find that you might be holding the shoulders up or something like that. So as we go through, just think to yourself, relax, breathe, and relax. All right, cool. So let's start out. Let's start out, James. Let's start out with some of the circles. So just connecting the sighs together. Good. good. Now, what you can do is you can slow it down slightly, James, so you're just getting a nice, smooth, it's kind of quiet. That's it. You can go internal by closing your eyes, but just keep connecting those, connecting them together one after the other. Good. That's a good pace. Now, while you're doing that, relax the shoulders. So think about the middle of the shoulder blades and relax them. Open the hands. Good. As you draw the air in, you can draw it in with power, but not force. That's it. It's a smooth power. Generally, we use the circles to clear energy, right, to focus the mind, because sometimes you've got to bring the breathing up to the level or the pace of your mind. Good, we've got 30 more seconds to go before we change the shape. James, you're doing really well. Think about relaxing. You can even move your head side to side, relax the neck, relax the jaw. Keep that pace. Good. Now we're going to switch it to a square now, James. So fully exhale. Pause. One, two, three. Inhale. One, two, three. Pause. One, two, three. Exhale. One, two, three. Pause. One, two, three. Inhale. One, two, three. Pause. One, two, three. Take a big sigh. Let it out. Take a big sigh. Now let's just come to a triangle. So draw it in through the nose. Let it out. And then pause at the bottom. So you want to inhale for the count of four. Let it out for the count of four. And then pause at the bottom for the count of four. So inhale, one, two, three, four. Exhale, two, three, four, pause, two, three, four, inhale, two, three, four, exhale, two, three, four, and pause, two, three, four. So just keep doing that, James, just keep doing the triangle. And then just start to slow it down to your own pace, whatever feels comfortable for you on an inhale. When you exhale, let the air out like really lightly, like you're blowing a candle out. Imagine that there's a candle in front of you and you're blowing a stream of air out, but you're not trying to blow the candle out. So it's a long, slow, relaxed stream. And then pause for as long as you like, as long as it feels comfortable in the bottom of that triangle. Good. And then when you're ready, take a big sigh just to reset. Good. So we just did 5 minutes. So 5 minutes. 5 minutes is all it takes to shift, to have you have a shift of energy.
I feel it. Carly says spunky men. That's right. Great call. Thank you, Carly. I feel really good right now. While 2 minutes in, I felt lightheaded and some discomfort.
Yep.
What's going on there? Why am I feeling some discomfort sort of a third of the way in?
Okay, I'll give this to you in a few levels. I'll give you at a surface level. What's happening is that we've got the exchange of gases happening in the body, right? We all know that we breathe in oxygen and that oxygen is important. What a lot of people don't know is that carbon dioxide is just as important as oxygen. A lot of people think carbon dioxide's bad gas and, you know, we don't have it in our body. It's actually the opposite's quite true. There's a lot of things involved. Carbon dioxide regulates blood sugar. It helps in the transfer of oxygen out of your blood and into the tissues in your body. So what often happens is when we have dysfunctional breathing, and so there's two parts to that. When you have dysfunctional mechanics in your breathing, meaning the way you actually breathe. So you might be trying to draw air in while you're squeezing the bottom part of your body. And a lot of people have that. It's called reverse breathing. So there's all these little intricate dysfunctions that can be in your breathing that will not allow you to take a full breath. And what that then does to the chemistry in your body is it doesn't allow the oxygen to infuse into the blood and then the oxygen to go from the blood into the tissues in an effective way. And so what will often happen is as soon as you change your breathing pattern like you did, quite often it will show up and it will come up as you're, it's starting to let your body know that you are not getting proper exchange of these gases. And that's why you'll get, you know, lightheadedness is usually the most prominent one, but then you could get very, I don't know if James, if you've done breathing before, you've got really tightness in the hands or tingling in the fingers. That's another sign that your body's just adjusting to the gases. And so what happens when you do take up a breathing practice is you start to correct those. They can be corrected in your body and you start to get efficient exchange of the gases in your body. Now, what's super important about this, James, is that hypercapnia is the technical term for it when you're basically lowering the CO2 in the body. And what can happen is it can have you mimic all sorts of different things, you know, feeling angry and irritable, brain fog, you know, forgetting, getting confused about things, you know, all these common things that we would class as either depression or anxiety can actually be brought on just by that little tiny change in the gases in your body. So if you're ineffectively breathing, it can bring on feelings of anxiety, which what that does is it makes people think there's something wrong with them, and then they start having anxious and racing thoughts, and that then triggers the body to breathe in an even worse way, and it goes around in this loop.
Yeah.
So it's quite an interesting thing. That's why.
Yeah. We've got a few questions here. Danny says, I often find it difficult to remember. This is Danny on Facebook. I often find it difficult to remember to breathe throughout the day. When I do remember, I realize I'm breathing really shallow. What's your trigger to remind you to just stop and breathe?
Great. This is a great, great question. Okay, so Danny, what I'll tell you what we did. I don't know if you can see these. It's a sand timer. This sand timer goes for about 3 minutes. And what my wife and I do is we've got these sand timers all over the house. And so what we did was we reminded ourselves every time that we looked at the timer that we do have 3 minutes. So if we're sitting at the computer or something and we would turn this over and we would go sit down and all we would do is just breathe low and slow. If you think about it, if you're a chest breather or you do get that high breathing, low and slow is all you've got to think about. You don't have to have any kind of special shape or special thing that you do with your breathing. You just think about breathing low in the body. And so, you know, setting yourself those reminders of doing that will have you then start to, for lack of a better word, you're training unconscious breathing habits. So when you're able to discover the unconscious breathing habits you have, you're able to expose them, and then you're able to practice and reinstall new breathing habits and ones that are positive. So similar to doing personal development work. You know, you identify what you're doing that's negative and replace it.
So what's interesting, and I'm speaking from my own experience here, is that I've interviewed the world's best experts on many topics. I've read lots of books. I've done lots of programs and courses. Like I know a lot of stuff, even though I don't know 99.999% of stuff in the world. I know a lot of stuff. And even though I know it, I still at times don't do the things that I know. So what you've just suggested there is, to me, it sounds like a visual cue. You have like a sand through the hourglass. There's something in your home that you see, which visually reminds you to breathe.
Mm.
That for me has been the most effective way to get me to do the stuff that I know. Another way of doing it is setting an alarm in your phone.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know this until recently, but you can literally set like 20 different alarms throughout the day. You don't just have to set the alarm once to wake up in the morning. You can actually have like 20 alarms going off. 20 alarms going off during a day is quite intrusive into your life, I must admit, when you hear like, wah, wah, wah. That was actually a bad alarm sound, but you know what I mean. But you could actually set an alarm to remind yourself to do it, right? Because I would suggest that many people watching us here have either practiced or learned or tried to do some type of breathing or meditation, and they know how to do it, but they just don't do it,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
So anything else, I guess my question is, anything else besides like a visual cue or an alarm that can just get us to actually do the amazing exercise that you've just shown us?
Yeah, it's. I think the shapes really help. You know, if you remember to sit and do a triangle shape when you breathe, or you're even just thinking about your breathing throughout the day, because you will notice your breathing when you become more attuned to it, and you do practice. You'll notice your breathing. Now we encourage with our clients. We have a bot that pops up in their inbox every morning and asks them how long they want to breathe for, what do they want to do with their breathing, and they get a menu-based choice on it. We have a platform that delivers a breathing session to people on a Sunday, a 25 to 30 minute Sunday. We call it the Sunday Breather. So we've thought about this a lot. It's a great question, James, because it is one of those things where, you know, our attention gets grabbed by so many things these days, right? Like we all know that. We've got phones going off. I think what we do is, you know, a lot of people are kind of in that, oh, you should get rid of all your technology. I don't believe that. You're just not going to do that. It's, you know, we run businesses on it and we do that. What we like to say is just, bring it into your technology. As you pointed out, putting an alarm on your phone, there's many apps out there these days that will send you a push notification. I think what it is it's the willingness to do the thing when the reminder comes up. I think is important, nobody can teach you willingness. No one can give you willingness. I learned that from my military days. You either had the will to carry on and to do things, or you did not. And so that's the unpalatable bit that I would say about discipline. You know, and the thing about how I've looked at discipline is, being disciplined about the breathing gives me so much joy and so much energy that I've become devoted to it. So I've made that transition from discipline to devotion because I love doing it now. It makes me feel good. It sets me up for the day and I'm a much better person to be around.
Mm. Yeah, wonderful. As you're speaking, I'm actually I'm really feeling the benefits of the breathing that we did 5 minutes ago. So I'm starting to feel like, I felt it while I was doing it, but now I'm really starting to feel nice and relaxed and calm and feeling good, you know?
Yeah.
Let's take a couple other questions. If you're just watching, you're just joining us and you have some questions, go ahead and post your question, whether it's on Facebook or on YouTube or any other platform. Just type in the question. We've got Mike Yellenin, who's watching on YouTube, who says, great stuff.
This is a good one. Yeah, like.
Thank you, Mike. I'm not sure I pronounced your name correctly, but thank you. Apologies if I didn't. We should read Carly's comment again, Spunky Men. Let's just keep rolling with that. We'll double down on that. Someone on Facebook says, I'm yawning a lot doing this. Why do you think this is?
Yes. Yeah, that's another really great question, and I'll come back to the migraine ones as well. Yawning is your body's way of equalizing. Yawning has... This is so interesting. there's so much science on yawning, they haven't even got to all of it yet. Yawning is a huge thing, and it's an equalization. You know, a lot of people think yawning's bad, but actually a yawn will help light up more centers in the brain than an orgasm does, if you would believe that. So, you know, here's the other thing about yawning. When we were doing studying on yawning, nature has not selected yawning out for us. You look in the wild, animals yawn. Like you can find pictures all over the internet of animals yawning. So it hasn't been selected out. So it is super important if nature hasn't selected it out, you know, and you'll see that a lot of people think it's about being tired. It's not. You know, animals in the wild yawn before they attack, or they yawn before they hunt. Like there's all different times where you'll yawn. We often say to people, if you're yawning while you're breathing, your body's just equalizing, and it's of benefit to you to be in alignment with your body's natural, you know, habits and instincts that it has, because there's a lot of wisdom in the body that we go against.
That question was from Sonia. Thank you, Sonia. S-O-N-Y-A. Sonia with a Y. The elegant spelling. I like it. Danny liked your sand through the hourglass technique. He says, thanks, I'm off to IKEA for the timer.
I reckon you can find them cheaper online than IKEA.
Oh, there you go. You don't even need to drive out to IKEA, Danny. Just get onto Amazon and get one.
Now, Neil, the one about migraines, this is a really interesting one, James, because there's a lot of people out there that have migraines. A couple of things with migraines. These are going to be one of your best defense against migraines, totally. With artificial light and things like that. Obviously, hydration is another big one. But when it comes to breathing and migraines, there's a couple of things that are really important. A lot of the time when we breathe and we've got inefficient mechanics, we'll be trying to breathe with the upper part of our body and our neck. And often migraines can be, I'll use the word simple here, but I don't mean simple because I don't suffer migraines, so I don't understand what it's like. But what it can be is just tension in the neck from trying to breathe with all the ancillary muscles instead of breathing with the lower, with the diaphragm and lower muscles. And I've often had clients that have had headaches, and after they do a breathing session where they learn to breathe lower in their body and relax the muscles up here, the migraines just disappear. So I would highly recommend, Mel, I'd highly recommend that you, when you do have a migraine come on, that you notice where you're breathing in your body. If you can get your breathing low and you can relax the face and relax the shoulders, I think you'll get some relief from it. I've seen it many times.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Jomaya Mendoza says, hello, James and Shane. Mel says, thank you. I will do that. We're talking to Shane Saunders from breatheme.com, right? BREATHEME.com, breatheme.com, speaking to Shane Saunders. So check out more from Shane at breatheme.com. And Shane has worked with the Special Forces and helping them to be calm in the heat of battle, I would imagine, Shane. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, 100%. The interesting thing about the forces is that they're getting to it now, James, but 20 years ago when I was also in the military and training, you know, no one really gave relaxation or recovery the proper credence it needed as far as performance. And, you know, again, bringing it back to recovery and things like that, this is, you know, things like the blue blockers, you know, things like breathing, like stretching, all these sorts of things that now people are starting to understand that it's important for you to protect your recovery and regeneration. So, that was a big part of what I bought to, especially in the Australian forces, I was a big advocate for how you recover will dictate your performance. And that was a while ago. So, I saw someone mention something there about weight loss and breathing. This is such an interesting one. There's a paper out with a formula on it that basically says that when you exhale, the adipose tissue or fat cells breaks down into carbon and water, and you breathe more of it. You exhale more fat out of your body via your lungs than anything else. And so if you have an effective, you know, like obviously when you exercise, you breathe heavier. So a big portion of the weight loss that happens is via your respiration, via your breathing. So it's a game changer when it comes to losing weight. Definitely a game changer.
Great. Thank you. We've got Manjinder Singh who says, is it better using your breathing technique standing or sitting relaxed?
Good question. That's a great question. It depends on what outcome you're after. If you're after an outcome where you want to be really, really relaxed or really, really focused and heightened, then probably sitting down is going to be best, especially if you're starting out and doing it for the first time. That being said, you can practice while you're standing. It's what I've found is that when you're standing, you need to be more conscious of what's happening with the gas exchanges, because as everyone, if you've done breathing before and you've done a really heavy breathing session, it can really disorientate you. Like you can really get into some altered states with breathing. So it is important, like most things, that you consider the environment you're in and you consider what you're doing it for, like what is the purpose that you're doing it for. So I hope that answered the question for him.
Yeah, thank you. Melanie, our producer, would you put a ticker across our broadcast, please, with the link to Shane's site, which is breatheme.com? Just put a ticker across for a couple of minutes so people can see that. There we go. Thank you very much. So if you are watching on YouTube or Facebook and you'd like to learn more or get some coaching from Shane, just go to breatheme.com and the ticker is right there on the screen. I'm still feeling pretty damn good, I have to say.
Good, man. That's good. 5 minutes.
I've just been handed a green smoothie off camera here while we were talking. It was just delivered to me like that. So your breathing is obviously working. I start breathing and all of a sudden I get like beautiful green smoothies delivered to me without even having to ask for it. It's amazing.
Right. Good.
Joe Mai Mendoza asks, if I sleep around 9 p.m., what is the best time to eat dinner? Any food to avoid before sleeping if I'm trying to cut weight?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I do have some things to mention around that. One of the things I've learned with food and fasting and all those kinds of things, the first thing that I've learned with food around being around all the biohacking is that food is probably one of the most difficult ones to try and say that there's one thing that works, because everybody's so different in you know how they process food. I think when you eat it can be just as important as what you eat. When you eat, what I've found really works for me, and I've seen it work for a lot of clients, is that if you're eating before the sun goes down, if you have a rule where you're finishing your last meal before the sun goes down, you're going to get an efficient time span from the evening of when you go to sleep to be in a regeneration phase. If you know a little bit about circadian rhythm, you'll know that the autophagy or the cell cleaning cycle happens in that phase after the sun goes down, in your sleep phase. And that means that's when your body's doing all its repair stuff at night. So if you're eating late at night, then it blocks off that repair. You know, the body can't come out and do an efficient repair because it's trying to digest. So I've always, recommended to my clients that they eat before the sun goes down. You just adjust your lifestyle so that you're having your last meal in that time, and it gives you a really great fasting window all through the night.
Yeah, another way of doing it, if that's not realistic or practical for you, I mean, I would suggest you just make it practical and you make it realistic. But if it just circumstances are in the way and it means that it's just really challenging to do that, as a rule of thumb, I say have the last bite of your last meal 3 hours before you want to sleep at night. If you're eating within those 3 hours, then your sleep quality will be compromised because your body, like Shane just offered, is digesting, it's working. Same with alcohol. Obviously, I help people quit drinking. I haven't drunk in more than a decade now. haven't had one drop of alcohol in almost 10 and a half years. And I can tell you that having any alcohol at all in those last 3 hours before you go to sleep is going to compromise the quality of your sleep, because you're just drinking straight toxins. And your body and your liver in particular has to work to break down that alcohol. And when your body's breaking down the alcohol, it's not in that deep restorative phase of repair, which means you may indeed drink a glass of wine, feel sleepy, and it may, yes, indeed, help you to fall asleep. However, the quality of your sleep is going to be severely compromised. So even though you're like passed out or you're asleep and you think you're sleeping well, you still wake up in the morning feeling tired and lethargic, even if you've slept 8 hours straight, the quality of those 8 hours was compromised. So,
Shane's
suggesting don't eat, you know, like have your last meal before the sun goes down. Depending on where you live in the world, if you're in the Northern Hemisphere and the sun goes down at 4:30, sometimes 5 o'clock, that may not feel realistic for you. In which case, if you're going to go to sleep at 10, have your last meal by 7. If you're planning on going to sleep at 9, try to have your last meal at 6. And with alcohol, of course, I'm just going to say don't drink alcohol at all. And if you want to learn more, just go to 30daynoalcoholchallenge.com. Melanie, our lovely producer, if you could just put up 30daynoalcoholchallenge.com and the ticker there, that would be great. And you can learn how to quit alcohol. But at the very least, just don't drink within, you know, 3 hours of sleep. Let's do just another 1 minute breathing exercise, Shane, and then we'll do some more questions. So literally we'll just do 1 minute, because I would imagine that for all of us who feel busy throughout the day, even 1 minute, just a 1 minute reset might be great for us, right?
Yeah, totally, totally. So just to get yourself set for this, Jane, just start with a big sigh. And just do that again. Another one. Now just breathe in a triangle. So draw it in for the count of 1, 2, 3, 4. Let it out slow. 1, 2, 3, 4. And pause. 1, 2, 3, 4. Inhale slowly. 1, 2, 3, 4. Let it out. 1, 2, 3, 4. Pause. 1, 2, 3, 4. And then just go in quick through the nose. And let it out. Do that again. Good. And then just let it settle. Just breathe normally. It's like 50 seconds right there.
Yeah. And there's a whole shift in my physiology, even from that. I am feeling a little bit lightheaded at the moment. And I would suggest that probably in another minute or two, I'm going to feel pretty terrific. Because at the moment, I'm feeling like a little bit lightheaded and a little kind of.
So that's that again. That's getting into the deeper. See, your body's now having time to readjust to the gases. So that's just showing that all that does is it shows up to you that there's a little bit of probably calibrating to do with your breathing to get it right. And once it's calibrated, you'll be able to take those really big inhales, or you'll be able to push the exhales out really fast, and that also goes into the performance realm. So, you know, often we find with people's breathing is they need to recalibrate first, then they restore their natural breathing instinct, which means just your body's ability to respirate naturally, and then you can go to a performance from there. So there's a pathway to follow to get there.
If you're just joining or you've been here since the beginning and you have a question, please do type it into the comments and Shane will answer. We're talking to Shane Saunders from breatheme.com. Shane lives in southeast Queensland on the Gold Coast, which is on the east coast of Australia, if you are over in the North America. I'm in Brisbane, just down the road. We're about an hour away from each other at the moment. Just coming back to the habit of doing breathing, Shane, A couple things that work for me, not so much with the breathing, but I'm just going to implement the same strategy for the breathing, is I like to put my diary, like my gratitude journal, in a very prominent place. So when I wake up in the morning and I get up, I see the journal, which inspires me to open the journal and start writing down things that I'm grateful for. Likewise, if I plan on exercising in the morning, I will get my exercise clothes ready the night before, and I will strategically place them on the floor between my bed and the bedroom door. So in order for me to even go to the bathroom in the morning, I have to get up. I have to literally either step over or walk through my exercise clothes to get there, or I have to put them on. And in most cases, I put them on. And now that I've got the exercise clothes on, it wills me out the door into actually doing exercise. So I've created a visual cue to remind myself to do it. Now, you suggested before of an egg timer, or actually just putting an alarm in your phone to do it. I would like to offer another suggestion. Maybe every time you pause at a red light in your car, you do a 15 seconds of breathing. You do a 15-second timeout. So every red light means 15 seconds. I wouldn't do it with your eyes closed because you probably have cars behind you on their horns. But you could set up a habit that when I am at a red light, I will breathe for, you know, 10 seconds. I will that's do gold. A breath.
That's gold. That's a great one. Like, yeah, totally. Just triangles. You can do just some slow triangles, you know.
Some slow triangles, yeah. When I see the play triangle on a YouTube video, I will do 1 minute of breathing. I will do a 1 minute triangle of breathing. So there you go. I just see down in the comments below, in the live comments, we actually have a comment there from our producer Melanie in Swanic Sleep, and I can see a little play button, the YouTube play icon. Oh, I see it every time I see a triangle. I breathe. All right, cool. I'm going to do it. Here we go.
Awesome. That's awesome, man. That's it. And that's what it gets down to, James, exactly what you're doing. A triangle is a sigh. And we often, you know, we've got a thing with our girls at night, like we've got two daughters, and we say to them three sighs and one yawn, and they drop off to sleep. It's just, it's amazing to watch. Like, they'll hop into bed. We'll say, okay, girls, three sighs, one yawn. They do it. And they do one yawn and then they lie down. You can immediately see their bodies relax. So they've installed a trigger within themselves of something so simple like that.
Question. Your girls are obviously doing that to relax and to fall asleep. Can the same breathing technique be used to energize you?
100%. 100%. Yeah. So come back to what we were talking about before with the inhale and the exhale. So the inhale energizes, the exhale relaxes you. So with any breathing technique that you do, if you're focusing on the inhale, being that you're adding a little more power to it or a little more emphasis to the inhale, it means it's going to take you up. Vice versa, if you're adding any kind of emphasis, slowing it down or lengthening it out, on the exhale, you're going to relax yourself. So to energize yourself doing the same thing, yeah, so just powerful on the inhale and relaxing and letting go on the exhale, and you'll immediately feel a lift.
Wow. The thing I think that we all forget or we need reminding of is that this is a free tool that's within us, that we're born with it. But it also comes back to just human nature, isn't it? We get in our own way. Like, we know to do this. We know how powerful it is. And yet many people who watch this will go, that was awesome. And then won't breathe today. They won't go and actually do the breathing.
How's our, you know, that James, you would have seen it in your work, James, our ability to feel gratitude or to feel love, but then we've also got the ability to feel grief and sadness. You know what I mean? So it's the same with physical things with our body and our mind even. We've got all this creativity, but it comes down to what we choose to do. I think, you know, you can achieve some amazing things within yourself, you know, just, you know, whether it's at the level of an athlete or whether it's depths of a meditation, these things are available to you because your body is such an amazing tool. But as you just pointed out, it often, you know, we just think we're in the slab of meat walking around and that's just it.
Rod Viaje says, hello, gentlemen. I'm a dancer and I compete a lot. Any breathing tips so I don't run out of oxygen midway?
Wow, this is a really good, Rod, great question. What that comes down to is it comes down to you practicing your oxygen efficiency when you're not performing, if that makes sense. So, you know, practicing slowing your breathing down and making your breathing quieter. So, you know, spending periods of time, as we mentioned before, if you've got some kind of visual aid that you use, you know, of practice, actually being conscious about your breathing will start to improve the amount of oxygen you absorb. And that goes for any athlete or anything like that. Learning to breathe efficiently and properly is probably one of the greatest performance tools that you'll be able to give yourself. And it's a subtle thing. It's one of those 1 or 2 percenters that gives you just that edge.
Is there a case study that you have, Shane, someone that you've worked with, a client, a friend, a family member, who when they came to you, you perceived them to be close to rock bottom with whatever was going on in their life? It may have been they were overweight or they were stressed, or it could have been that they were depressed or anything. And then through just the simple act of breathing with your help, had a massive transformation.
Yeah. Yeah. One in particular is a friend of ours and a client who lives here. And he was suffering massive amounts of anger issues and depression. You know, he doesn't drink alcohol, so he was struggling to find something to help manage himself. And I think what I saw in the transformation in him is the breathing was the thing that first helped him release a lot of tension in his body. The interesting thing about depression and anxiety, James, is it also manifests physically in the body, as in, you know, anxiety manifests as tension in the body, and tension in the body then creates kind of like, you know, pain in the body or discomfort or things like that. And so you're living not only with mental and emotional discomfort, you're living with physical discomfort. And the breathing allows you to first release that physical tension. And the physical tension, the rigidity that you have in your body, then also you have rigidity in your mind or your thinking. And when they all start to relax, you start to get relaxation in the mind and people start to feel like they've got more space. When you have more space, you're more likely to go and, you know, seek help. You're more likely to go in and have a counseling session, or you'll go and do some other self-development, or you might take up meditation. Breathing is really the gateway for success for that. Breathing in itself is an amazing tool. And it's also kind of like the key power habit, where it'll allow you then to go and, you know, you'll go and exercise more, or you'll be more open to having a conversation with somebody because your nervous system is calmed down. You're more likely to go and be open and vulnerable, in talking about things. So I was able to see that, with Brendan, with a client that we had, that he went from being really, really severely depressed and not doing much with his life to completely transform, losing weight, you know, going out and having a relationship, you know, getting back into life, just simply by doing the breathing. And the consistency in the practice was the thing that gave him the superpower. I know that is true for me as well. You know, I think that when people, you're already breathing consistently, right? You do it for life. So why not make that your first habit? You know, it's an easy win, right? As far as habits go, dude, it's the easiest win you've got available to you.
And no, Shane, no. You should go to the doctor and get a prescription and pop a pill, take some drugs. What are you talking about?
that happens a lot, but this is like you pointed out, it's free and it's non-drug. And here's the other thing too about it, James, is, and I'll bring this up because this is not often spoken about, but I think it's super important. Breathing, when you breathe in a certain way, you do get a high feeling from it, right? You get a high. And let's face it, as humans, we are always looking for a way to get high. Like it's a natural propensity of us to be get to get an altered state. When I talk about high, I probably should replace that with an altered state. We are looking for an altered state. And so, you know, people watch movies, they play video games, they'll go and do sport, that, you know, some people drink alcohol, some people take drugs. Everyone's trying to do something to get this state shift or this shift of consciousness. Breathing allows you to do that. And it can be harmful in certain cases if you're really aggressive with a certain type of breathing. Yes, you know, like you'll pass out, and I'm sure there's been many people out there that have probably done that before. That being said, it's probably one of the easiest ways to get a shift in consciousness that you can do. So I see it as a important thing because it will help you. If you're battling with alcohol or smoking or, you know, any of these sorts of things, a breathing habit will help you.
Mm. Marie Evan asks, most of the times after lunch, I become really sleepy, which affects my productivity. Any breathing tips after eating lunch to avoid getting
sleepy? Yeah, great, great question. What we recommend to most of our clients is that after you've eaten, do 5 minutes of triangles. Just do 5 minutes of the triangle breathing, because the breathing low in the belly after you've eaten also helps the mechanical aspect of moving the food down and starting the digestive process. So we often find that that just having 5 minutes after you've eaten to breathe, and then what I would also recommend is going out for a walk. Like even if you can do 5 minutes of breathing and then go for a walk for 5 minutes, it will very much help with that process. Also depends on, I guess, what you're eating and things like that as well.
We're talking to Shane Saunders from breatheme.com. You can go to breatheme.com to learn more and connect with Shane. If you are watching this on YouTube or Facebook or wherever you're watching, if you take a screenshot now, or you pull out your phone and you take a photo of us and then you post it on your social media, you can tag me, which is at James Swanick. You can tag Swanick, which is literally at Swanick. Shane, what's your Instagram or Facebook?
Just Shane Saunders. Yep, Shane Saunders. You can tag me. You'll find me on there. And
If you tag either one of us, I will certainly commit to retweeting you or posting you or giving you a shout out, whatever it is on what platform. If it's a tweet, I'll retweet you. If it's a Facebook, I'll reply back to you. If you're on Instagram, I'll post back to you as well. But take a photo of this and maybe just share one thing that you got out of this. What was one valuable lesson that you got from this? And then and tag me, tag Swanick, tag Shane Saunders, and we will comment back. So let me just check here some of the comments. Thank you so much to Marie and to Rod and to Melanie and Manjinda and Mel and Jemai and to Danny and Carly and to Mike for asking questions, and for Shalina and for the Facebook user in Melbourne, Australia. Not sure what your name is, but welcome and great to have you here. Thank you to Bonnie who asked a question. So great to have you here. Let's finish with a little three breath kind of conclusion. Shane, do you want to launch us into one? Let's do a little 30-second one, because I want everyone to get into the habit of like doing this really, really quickly. It's not like we have to sit down for 20 minutes and do this. It's not like we even have to sit down and do it for 5 minutes. Even 20 seconds is going to be something, right?
Yep. So imagine a triangle, draw the breath in, let it go. And again. And again. And draw it into the top and pause it. Pause. Let it go really slow. And pause at the bottom and just take three really slow, quiet breaths. Just slow. 30 seconds. Good. And then you just sigh to come out of it. Good.
Wonderful. Shane Saunders from Breathe Me, thank you so much for your time today. So appreciate you.
Thanks. Thanks, James. It was a pleasure being on here. And yeah, it would be great to do it again.
And to all of you who posted a comment and asked a question and participated, thank you so much. I will see you on the next one. Bye for now.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Swanwick Podcast. If you liked what you heard, give us a subscribe, and while you're at it, forward it to a friend you think would benefit from hearing it too. You can find us on social media or at shopswanwick.com.